the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So, Will O'Callaghan from Off the Ball, the host of the Hurling Pod, is with us. And we have Ray Silk as well, former All-Ireland winning captain with Galway, to talk about where we're at with Gaelic football after the end of the football leagues. Now, Ray, I'm going to start, and I'm sure there won't be people in Donegal thanking me for this, because they would expect us to be concentrating on the 13-point hammering of Kerry. And it could even have been a lot more. At one point, there were 21 points ahead. But Michael Murphy, had he been sent off and hadn't not been on the pitch to score his goal, the game might have been very, very different. What do you make of the decision of the referee, David Goff, to book him for two punches, one to the head, particularly when he had his linesman so close by to what happened?
Yeah, I think the key point in that matter,
I don't think anyone disagrees, Matt, that it's most definitely a red card. But I think the who's culpable there, unfortunately, is Conor Lane from Cork, in that he should have most definitely flagged it on that side, because it happened there. I think David Goff, to be fair, who's one of the top referees in the country and has done a good few All-Irelands, he couldn't see it. But it was unacceptable, and it was dangerous play of a very high level. And I often think if it was your son or your daughter that was taking those hits, you wouldn't be happy. So I think Michael himself would admit that, you know, he got a rush of blood to the head, but he should have been sent off most definitely. But now that he has a yellow card, he moves on from that. But, you know, I think he would be a marked man to a certain degree. I think he took the goal superbly. He kicked two pointers, I think. But it can happen sometimes as a player moves on in his career, Matt, that, you know, maybe the pace has gone a little bit. But, you know, I don't think Dylan Casey had done anything to warrant that. But the last punch in particular was a very, very dangerous punch. And Conor Lane should have told David Goff to give him a red card.
What do you think, Will O'Callaghan? And is this something that perhaps now will make Michael Murphy a marked man by referees for the rest of the season?
I think it will. I mean, it's obviously something that was discussed very extensively across podcast League Sunday. We're chatting about it on the radio right now. I'd agree with Ray. I mean, all this comes down to the information that Conor Lane has passed on to David Goff. And the part that I can't understand is why it results in a yellow card when there's very clearly, and you can see it from the replay where Conor Lane is no distance away from it, that there's an attempt by Michael Murphy, first of all, to land a shoulder. And then there's two striking offences that happen on Dylan Casey directly after that. So it looks like he's gone in to try and do damage on Dylan Casey as well, as opposed to him reacting to something. And I cannot understand how that information wasn't relayed correctly to David Goff. Michael Murphy scores 1-5, as you mentioned. You know, that goal was in the goal blitz for Donegal within the game as well. And it may well have changed their approach, because, you know, Michael Murphy's positioning as that kind of extra wall to cut off the shorter kickouts for Kerry made it a little bit more difficult for them to get the ball away. So his sheer presence on the pitch for the rest of the game obviously was quite important for Donegal. That is naturally not to take away from the fact that they've just kicked the most amount of points we've ever seen in a league final in 29. And it's as comprehensive a 13-point victory as you can see. Kerry won't be reaching for excuses, but Michael Murphy staying on the pitch is obviously a key moment within the game.
Such a big reversal of what happened in the All-Ireland Senior Football Final last year. But Ray, did you get the impression that a Kerry team, down quite a few players, really seemed to care about what was happening yesterday?
No, not at all, Matt. I was smiling, waiting for the call here. A friend of mine had greyhounds, and he said, if you wanted your greyhound not to run well, you just give them a bag of bones the day of the race. And there was nothing wrong with them, but they definitely didn't win the race. And I think Kerry looked like they'd maybe trained very, very hard during the week or got a bag of bones, because, you know, David Clifford, Shawnee O'Shea, people who were immense last year in the All-Ireland final. Joe O'Connor is an exceptionally good player. You know, Thomas Sullivan got a point, but they weren't at it. And now the goals, when you concede three goals in 2 minutes, it absolutely burst the balloon. But the balloon seemed fairly burst as it was. I think the big problem was they couldn't get on their own kickouts whatsoever. Jason McGee, Hugh McFadden and Michael Langan cleaned them out in that department. And with the new game, Matt, as Meade showed against Cork, when they got that head of steam, if you're turning over the kickouts, you're going to leak, and you're going to leak heavy. And you know, I've seen that many times in the league now. Roscommon were 13 points down against Galway, then they turned the screw on the Galway kick out and they won that game by a point or two. If you cannot get your own kick out, you're going to lose. And Kerry did lose, but I don't think Jack O'Connor will be concerned in the slightest. They're heading off and they'll know that he has found a few players. I've been impressed with Heinrich at wing back. He scored 2 points. Keith Evans took his goal ever so well. It was a fantastic goal. They have young Kennedy. So they've found a few players, but it is still concerning when you concede, as Will said, 320, I think it was. Like, that's a huge scoreline. And, you know, one thing, talking a positive about Donegal, I thought Conor O'Donnell's goal was, for me, the highlight of the weekend in some regards. The reverse hand pass by Michael Langan. O'Donnell came at high pace and he nearly took the net off the Wigan. Like, it was a really, really exciting goal and it was great to watch that.
But Will, back to you and Kerry, when you think about it, from last year's All-Ireland final, I mean, we all focus on David Clifford and the contribution from scores of Sean O'Shea. But last year, Paddy Clifford had that incredible amount of time on the ball, all the touches. Gavin White was absolutely terrific in the All-Ireland final. Shane Ryan, so important goal. They were all missing yesterday, and Brian O'Begley and Sean O'Brien. So that really wasn't Kerry yesterday, was it?
No, like you've just reeled off probably their main source for winning their own kick-out, who was missing. Also, with the way that Donegal approached this game, they decided to press up much higher on the kick-out. And even when the aforementioned Langan, who I thought was brilliant yesterday, and he was well cut off by Kerry in the All-Ireland final back last July, he was kicking points freely. But I remember they cut at one point, and even after O'Donnell scored the goal, the TG Carr camera cut them, and both of them were getting into position to chase the kick-out automatically after that. So Kerry, I think, lost 10 kick-outs in a row at one point during the game, which just go to show the problems that they had. But you're right. I think even if Paddy Clifford had been on the pitch yesterday, Matt, he would not have had the time to dictate in the way that he did in the All-Ireland final last season, because Donegal defended with a much higher intensity than they did back in that game too. If we're talking about Donegal learning lessons, I don't think anyone would have thought that Caelan McColligan would be going back onto David Clifford, and that David Clifford would have as frustrating a day as he had yesterday. And he was backed up by other players who were dropping into the pocket. Donegal were really good at interchanging and keeping that wall in front of their defence. And perhaps more crucially, in the All-Ireland final last year, it was like they retreated inside their 45 and said, right, come break us down. While yesterday they pushed up much better when Kerry dropped into those pockets of space. So it would indicate to me that Jim McGuinness has learned a lot from the All-Ireland final. And Eamon Fitzmaurice had a great line that I heard yesterday. He said, "We questioned whether Donegal were up for this league final. Well, very clearly, Donegal were up for playing against Kerry. It will never banish the memories of the All-Ireland final, but maybe it's indicated to us as we go into this 2026 Championship season that actually if these teams were to meet again later in the year, some of those deficiencies that Kerry found in the All-Ireland final last season might not be there in Donegal's setup for this summer."
Which is very interesting. Ray, Kerry, of course, won the league last year. They were defending it. They did the double last year, but there's been loads of teams over the last decade who've won the league, who've done nothing in the Championship afterwards. Surely Donegal are better than that, though.
No, they most definitely are. And just as a team that Kerry could use, Matt, later on, can you imagine if Kerry were playing Donegal in a big, big game and Jack O'Connor just played that small clip of Michael Murphy hitting Dylan Casey and those, you know, the scores that let in so easily, O'Donnell's goal and Murphy's goal. Like, I can only imagine that the dressing room, the Kerry dressing room, would be leaping. And that is a very important thing in Gaelic football, the hunger, the drive, that I will get him, I'll take this, I'll get the ball. Just that fanaticism that Roy Keane had when he played with Man United and the top Gaelic players have as well. And I don't think yesterday did Donegal that many favours from the point of view. I just think it gave a little bit of wood for Jack O'Connor to throw on the fire later in the Championship. As regards the Ulster Championship, Donegal are the best team in Ulster. They've proven that before. They're playing down in a few weeks' time, but you'd imagine Donegal or Armagh will come out up there. Tyrone have been very disappointing. Like, you know, Cork beat them at home to qualify for the league final. And whatever, Malachy O'Rourke, it just doesn't seem to be coming together for him unless he can turn it out in the Championship. But if you look at the Championships, Connacht, Ulster, Leinster and Munster, the most exciting one, there's two now actually, thankfully. Ulster is quite exciting because you have a few teams, but also the Leinster Championship is one that I think a few people might go across to see some of the games, particularly if it's the likes of Dublin against Louth or Dublin against Meath. You know, they're games that we haven't been excited about for a long, long time, and I think that's one big boost from the league, that teams like Louth and particularly Meath will fancy themselves of winning provincial titles.
Well, indeed, when it comes to that, well, the Division 2 final, Meath beat Cork 122-217. But did we see enough in that game to suggest that Meath and Cork might fancy themselves having long runs in the Championship?
Yeah, well, look, I think from Meath's perspective, what was really important for them, Matt, is they backed up the run in the All-Ireland Championship last year, because we kind of wondered, you know, they beat Kerry and kind of caught fire after that, not go away with the Championship, got to an All-Ireland semi-final. You're thinking that these are really, really good signs that Meath are adapting well to, as they were the new rules at the time. They're very good two-point kickers, and they continue that throughout Division 2 this season. But just the consistency that we saw from them in the league so far this year. So they won 6 of the regular 7 matches. The only loss they had was against Cork in that thriller that they had during the league. Then they went back to the league final yesterday. And again, there was a lot of that kind of template from the Meath side, where they work the ball into good positions, they get scores, they generally kick pretty big totals as well. You know, 122 again scored at Croke Park in that game yesterday, and there's no reason to think that they can't go again toe-to-toe with everybody within the Leinster Championship, because as Ray has said, it's clear that Dublin are in a complete rebuilding stage now at this stage. They're not the imposing force they once were. And Meath obviously lost out to Louth in the Leinster final last year, but bounced back after that. And I just kind of think, with the exception of probably the other big talking point which came out of that game, which was the hooter at the end of it, and now we're going to talk about reform of the hooter, I've no doubt again, where Meath kind of kicked the ball into the corner, Cork are trying to play it back out. A black card is taken for a rugby tackle after an initial foul. And you're just thinking, if there was back chat to the referee, that would have been moved up 50 metres and Stephen Sherlock is taking a look at a point to send the game to extra time. But you can just take a black card in whatever there was, 20 seconds left on the clock, and Meath had no material disadvantage. They were able to come back, get into position, and Cork didn't have time to kick a score. So I don't know whether we'll get back to a point where the hooter goes back to what it was previously, that the ball has to go dead, because that was a feature of the league finals at the weekend. I think Down kept the ball for 2 or 3 minutes at the end of the game against Wexford as well. I don't know if we're maybe better served going back to what the hooter was last season.
Just another thing, it was noticeable, particularly in the Meath and Cork game, and it might have been a bit down to the wind though, but that in trying to avoid the long kickouts and trying to avoid losing possession in the middle of the pitch, there was an awful lot of balls been played that didn't cross the 45-metre line or didn't go outside the arc or actually went directly into touch. Will?
Yeah.
Look, it's been a feature, Matt, that's actually happened throughout the league. And you get that sometimes when the argument will go down to the gale wind potentially. But I just wondered if that was maybe the approach, that they didn't want to kick into players, you know, further up the field who could potentially turn the ball back over on them as well. But yeah, it was a kind of a bizarre thing, like kickouts and kickout retention. The rates for some of the teams at the weekend weren't particularly hot. And we saw that obviously in the top two divisional finals. I still kind of wonder, you asked me as well about kind of where Cork go later on in the season. I don't think Cork have lost a huge amount in terms of the defeat that they had. They've obviously had a good campaign. Getting back up to Division 1 was what was most important. I was listening to John Cleary talking about that last season. And look, if Cork had found themselves a score at the end of it, they could well have taken that game to extra time. So, like, it was incredibly close. I think for Cork, the most important thing next year is to obviously maintain their Division 1 status. But I'd agree with you. I mean, as things go on, and obviously in the Munster Championship, they're going to have to keep the ball on their own side of the ball an awful lot better than they did the weekend just come by.
Okay, Ray Silk, last word to you. You wanted to get back in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it would be remiss of us not to congratulate Joe Murphy. He's the Carlow manager, and they beat Longford, Matt. And it's unbelievable. It's their first win in Croke Park since 1971. So, you know, they also won the O'Byrne Cup back in, I think it was 2002. So Joe came in there after Shane Curran. It didn't work out with the players, etc. He's Carlow to the backbone. All his management team is. And, you know, it's one of the really good positive stories from the weekend to see Carlow winning the first time in Croke Park. 55 years.
I think we just lost Ray there. And Will, I know you're staying because we're going to talk about Tiger Woods, but we shouldn't forget that it was very important for Down to beat Wexford in Division 3 to get into the All-Ireland Championship.
Oh, hugely important, especially as Ray mentioned, they played Donegal in the first round of Ulster in a few weeks' time. And if they were faced with a situation where they had lost that Division 3 final and their seeding then was entirely reliant on getting to an Ulster final to be in the Sam Maguire, it's an uphill task from that point of view. I thought they showed Wexford a lot of respect during the game. Now, perhaps rightly so, because Wexford came into that game in terrific form. You know, they've beaten a lot of the other teams around them in the hunt for promotion. That dramatic win they had against Westmeath on the last day, going away from home and beating Clare, were huge, huge results. So they had to respect Wexford. But I kind of got the feeling this happened with down in a Division 3 final against Westmeath a couple of seasons ago as well, where they seemed to be happy to kind of put up a score, then retreat back and try and take control without the ball in hand. And sometimes they're a little bit too passive. So it took a late rally for them to win that game. It would have been some story if Wexford had gone from winning Division 4 and then potentially winning Division 3 on their way to Division 2. But down just about holding on. Probably the most significant result of the weekend when you take championship seeding into account. So barring some big surprises in the other provinces, it would seem that they are going to be in the Sam Maguire Championship, which is the most important thing for them. And as Ray was mentioned about Carlo, like, since that's 1944, I think, is the only time they've won a Leinster, only third national title ever. An absolutely remarkable day for Carlo football.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.